Sefer names through Parsha Frameshir for Parshas Va'era. We'll be looking at the Sefer Mate Aaron by Rav Aaron David Zeldiner. So the Pasuk in Parshas Va'era, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, when referring to the fact that the Chartumim were trying to mimic turning his staff into a snake, so it says that each one of them cast down their staff and they became snakes. But Vayivla Mate Aaron es Matosom, but Aaron's staff swallowed their staffs. So who was Rav Aaron David Zeldiner? So there's a sefer called Doros HaAchronim, written by Ben Sion Eisenstadt. So in the second chelek, he records a paragraph on Rav Aaron David Zeldiner. So he was the son of Rav Chaim HaKohen. He was born the 15th of Elul in 1873. His parents moved to Brisk in Lita. He became a big Talmud Chacham. He was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Leib Tukachinsky, the Rav in Mir. He came to learn with the Prushim in Kovna, and Rav Yehuda Leib Gordon, Rav Mordechai Weitzel, and Rav Yeshua, they all gave him smicha. It says in the year 1916, he became the Rav in Superior, Wisconsin, so somehow he made his trek over to America, to the United States, and when he wrote this Sefer, the inscription says that he was the Rav in Rock Island, Illinois, and he was Nifter on September 6, 1936, which was the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and he's buried in the Mount Judah Cemetery in Ridgewood, Queens. So the Sefer Mata Aaron, it's only about 100 pages. It's Kolol Drushim Yekorim B'Shelos Hadas U'She'elos Hazman. It's ideas about certain religious questions. It's mostly Drushim on the Moadim, on different Inyanim and Bechira and Emuna. So we'll just quote several of his interesting ideas from some of his drashos in the Sefer Mata Aaron. So the first one, he has a drasha called Drasha al Kavod HaTorah. So he notes that the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Ches says that a person should be very careful to honor, to give kavod to a Talmud Chacham who forgets his learning machmas onso. He forgets his learning by no fault of his own, meaning due to his old age, memory loss. What's the proof that you should still honor a Talmud Chacham when he's older, even though he doesn't know any Torah right now, he forgot it? As we say, that the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos were both placed in the Aron. So seemingly the analogy is that an old Talmud Chacham who forgets his learning, he's like the broken set of Luchos, but the fact that we still honor the Shivrei Luchos by putting it in the Aron shows we should still honor a Talmud Chacham who forgets his learning ba'onso. So Rav Zeldiner, as a kasha, he asks on this comparison. He gives a mashal. He says you have two types of items that have value. One would be something like gold, silver, diamonds. Those items are inherently valuable. Another item would be a painting, artistry, where an artist spends effort, toil to craft an item, and that item also has value. So at any time, you could have a piece of gold or a diamond, and you could have a beautiful painting that could both be worth the same amount of money, have the same value. But what's the distinction between items that have inherent value, like gold, silver, diamonds, and a painting? It's what happens when that item breaks. So when it comes to gold, silver, diamonds, okay, it's not such a problem. Now you have half a bar of gold. Now you have a smaller diamond. So the value still remains. It just diminishes based on how much was removed from the item. But there's still inherent value. Whereas with a painting, if a painting gets ruined, and now you only have half the painting that's visible or that's able to be seen in a proper way, so the whole value's gone. That painting is worth $0. So, says Rav Zeldiner, I have a kasha. By the Luchos, we know the Mishnah in Avos tells us that they were created bina shmashos and erev Shabbos and maisa bereishis. Even when they were broken, the letters flew off. So clearly this was maisa Hashem. The Luchos were inherently valuable. And therefore, it's logical to say that even though the Luchos broke, you still place the Shivrei Luchos in an Aron, because at the end of the day, there's inherent value. It's maisa Hashem. So you have to honor that. Whereas a person, when a person's born, he has nothing. He's ofer min ha'adama. He has to work and toil to gain, to create a painting, to create himself, to form himself into a Talmud Chacham. And what happens if he then loses that Torah knowledge? So he's like that painting that broke. There's no inherent value anymore in the Torah he learned. So ask Rav Zeldiner, why should we honor that Talmud Chacham who forgot his learning? It's not similar to the Shivrei Luchos, which had inherent value. This Talmud Chacham doesn't have inherent value. So he answers, based on the Gemara in Eruvin, on Daf Nun Dalid, which says that if not for the fact that the first Luchos, the Luchos Rishonos, were broken, Lo Tishkach Torah Miyisrael, Torah would have never been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. The Luchos Rishonos were a Torah that was Bichtav, we would have never forgot it. There would have been no need for a Torah Shebaal Peh. But once the first Luchos were broken, Shichicha, forgetfulness of learning, came about. So now it makes sense. You have a Talmud Chacham, spent his entire life learning Torah, and now he forgets it at the end of his life, Machmas Onso. He's not trying to forget it. It's old age. It's memory loss. You know why he has that memory loss? You know why forgetfulness and learning was brought into the world? It was specifically because the first Luchos were broken. And therefore, as long as he learned when he was younger, the fact that we honor the Shivrei Luchos by putting them in an Aron shows that we acknowledge that breaking. And even though it caused forgetfulness and learning, we value that. And therefore, we can still value and honor this Talmud Chacham who acquired so much knowledge during his lifetime. A second idea from Rav Zeldiner, he has a drasha on Yisrael Begolus. And he asks, on last week's parasha, on Parsha Shmos, he says, very basic question, what's the inyan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to Moshe in a burning bush? Prior to Matan Torah, what message was HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to send to Moshe and to Klal Yisrael? Additionally, the Medrash in Shir HaShirim says that the Torah was written with Ish Shchura, with black fire, on top of ore, which is made from Ish Levana, from white fire. Black fire, white fire, the Torah is written with fire. What exactly does this mean? So Rav Zeldiner explains that Klal Yisrael, throughout history, has always had two enemies, two types of enemies in Galus. Those who tried to persecute us, to kill us, to get us to not perform mitzvot, to do averos. And then there was the second type of enemy, nice to us, they bring us in, they treat us with dignity and honor, but they're an enemy because they also cause us to become so assimilated that we lose our own identity as Jewish people. Now, the properties of fire are twofold. Number one, it gives life. It heats us, it warms us, it allows us to cook food so that we can sustain ourselves. You need fire to power and sustain many life forces. But fire, we know, also destroys. It burns. It causes tremendous damage. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing to Moshe before Kabbalah Satorah. The image of a Sneba Ish, to allude to the fact that Klal Yisrael will be able to survive the Golus from those two types of enemies. Some enemies act like fire, and that they try to just destroy, annihilate, burn, and some act like fire, and that they try to warm. They try to sustain us by allowing us to mix within them. But Moshe is shown that the Sneh does not get consumed. Representative of Klal Yisrael, we will not be destroyed by the fire of Golus. And that's what the Medrash means when it says the Torah was written with black fire on top of white fire. When fire burns, it creates ash, which is black. So the Torah, the Koach of Torah, is able to withstand the black fire that tries to destroy us. And it's even able to withstand the white fire. That fire that brings warmth, gives us strength. The Koach of Torah, we can overcome Golus as long as we remain steadfast in our observance of the Torah. And on a similar note, in a different drasha, on Rosh Hashanah, Rav Zeldiner says that Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael and Golus in Chutz La'aretz, they worship Avodah Zarah b'tahara. They worship idolatry with purity. Seems like a contradiction. What does that mean? He says it means that often we become so assimilated and mixed in with Goyish minhagim and practices. And very interestingly, an example Rav Zeldiner gives is giving gifts to a friend on his birthday with a card. Apparently, that's a very non-Jewish practice to exchange gifts on birthdays. That's one example he gives. Very interesting. And so, Rav Zelderner says, we worship their practices. We're worshiping Avodah Zarah because we follow their ways, but it's B'tahara, because our kavana is not to do Avodah Zarah. It's what we're used to. We get mixed up in it, and we feel like we identify that it becomes part of us. But it's still Chukas Hakam. It's still the ways of the Goyim. And that's pshat when Chazal say that Ko Adar B'chutz La'aretz, anyone who lives in Chutz La'aretz in Golos, it's as if he doesn't have a Lokei Yisrael. He doesn't have a God. Because he ends up developing new practices, even though B'tahara, the Kavanah's B'tahara, he doesn't realize he ends up worshipping practices that are not inherently Jewish or related to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so he says very strongly that a Jew in Galus has to recognize the fires coming at him from both angles and stay steadfast in his observance of the Torah. So that's a little bit about Rav Aaron David Zeldiner and his Sefer Mata Aaron.